This morning, our scripture lesson is Psalm 42, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 42, verses 1 through 5. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my help and my God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Like many neighborhoods, the subdivision that we lived in when serving in the Dalton area was filled with walkers. Now, Sally was one of the walkers, but this was before my exercising days. But on occasion, I would take a stroll through the neighborhood. You know, I didn't see the need to get too serious about it, but a stroll every once in a while was nice. Well, you know, in every neighborhood there seems to be a couple. The couple in the neighborhood that just thinks everybody wants to be with them. Who thinks their company is so marvelous, everybody wants them there all the time. Well, there was this couple that for some reason, every time somebody took a walk or a stroll, they thought they were welcome company. They thought you wanted them with them. And so these two boxer hounds stayed quite tired. They huffed and they puffed up and down the roads of the neighborhood, tongues hanging out, barely moving, often looking like they would, particularly on a hot summer day, looking like they would surely collapse. But as soon as one person walked in their house from their walk or stroll and somebody else came out, they were with them. Now, they never arrived anywhere. They just walked with whomever, wherever they went, up and down the road. Well, one day I had decided to take one of my strolls, and of course it was along with the company of the boxers. And there was this stream, because where we lived was, you know, it's semi-mountains, we weren't really up in the mountains, but we were able to get the mountain streams and so forth in the neighborhood where we lived. And there was a bridge that I liked to stop on and just watch the stream go by. Well, these boxers were with me, and I stopped and I was watching the stream go by, and they looked down at the water, and they looked up at me. They looked down at the water, they looked up at me, and when they were assured that I wasn't going anywhere for a little while, they walked down the little bank there and into the stream, and it was deep enough that even for these big dogs, the water was just running under their bellies there, and they would just lap it up, that water. This was before the days of cameras on our cell phones. I wish I had a picture of it. I would enlarge it and I would call it contentment. You know, I'm also reminded too, many people, maybe even some of us, spend endless time and energy huffing and puffing up and down the roads of life. We work hard. We do all the right things. Our lives are full. I'll never better rephrase that. Our lives are busy. We huff and we puff. We hurry and we scurry on this road of life. Yet even though we've put in a lot of hours, We've covered a lot of miles. So many times we don't see where we've accomplished anything. Another day, hopefully another dollar, probably another debt, and life moves on. Sometime when you're in a public place, now maybe not a restaurant after the preacher's finally finished preaching on Sunday morning, but you know, perhaps let's say the bank or the grocery store, the mall, someplace of business. Observe the people around you. Notice how many people walk around with strained faces and expressions. Notice how many people are tense. They're jittery. They're in a hurry while going nowhere. Notice the angry, the sad faces. If you're near a mirror, take a look at yourself. I have to confess, too many times I do not want to do that. But sometimes though, watch the world around you. It's a shame. But I dare say that on a given day in a place of business, the bulk of those walking and rushing around us are unhappy, stressed out people. And perhaps we join them. Is it possible that we are jittery, angry, sad, in a hurry, always moving? Because we're afraid to stop. If we're quiet, it might come to pass the psalm where it says, "Be still and know that I am God." That if we're still and quiet, our inner voice of the Holy Spirit may start talking to us. We may hear the very whisper of God. And we may find and we may come to realize that we've been running up and down the road doing everything society says is success, and yet we find ourselves miserable. We find ourselves to be a miserable success. You know, I find it interesting how the decade birthdays are always a potential crisis. My first one was at 40. Now, I know they do start at 30. My first one was at 40. But one of the main reasons, among many reasons, that these birthdays can be potential crises is somehow moving into that next decade birthday thrust us into self-examination. Our youth begins to fade away. Eventually it disappears from sight. And we look in the mirror of our soul. Some are not what they envisioned themselves to be at certain milestones in life. Hence they work even harder to try to catch up, or they drift into apathy as they grieve failures and lost opportunities. Others have attained society's definition of success, and after they've achieved that definition of success, they look around and they realize they got to where they were going, but it doesn't look like the brochure. Hence, they search for someone or something to infuse some thrill into life. Either way, one is not at peace. He or she is restless. America is a nation full of restless people. Many of us will remember him. Some of the younger folks may not, but many of us will remember a TV actor, a movie actor, Sean Connery. 007 and so many of the James Bond movies. Many men were secretly jealous of him as he played these movies in exotic places with, shall we say, attractive co-stars. He was also an executive producer, wielding him a lot of power in the entertainment industry. When he was 62 years old, he was still acting, and he didn't need to. He had more money already than he could ever spend, and he had more fame than anyone could ever attain. And so he was asked why he continued to act, and he said, and I quote, "Because I get the opportunity to be somebody better and more interesting than I am." End quote. Why are so many people dissatisfied with who they are? Why do we so often thirst for that which we do not have? Why are we always striving for something new or something different? You don't need a PhD to answer the question. There's an incompleteness to life. And when asked what we lack, we don't know. St. Augustine said, "Our souls are made for you, O God, and our souls are restless until they rest in you." The psalmist said, "As the deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God." The refreshing, life-giving water of Jesus is right here. Jesus is always present. Jesus is always with us. God has given us this precious gift of life, and Jesus sends us love messages and blessings every day. Yet instead of stepping into the stream and lapping up and drinking in the life that Jesus offers, we rush over the bridge, past the stream, in pursuit of happiness. In our daily bread, the story is told, of which you may have heard before, of a rich industrialist who was disturbed to find a fisherman sitting lazily beside his boat. And he asked the fisherman, "Why aren't you out there fishing?" To which he responds, "I've caught enough fish for today." The industrialist, "Well, why don't you catch more fish than you need?" To which the fisherman asks, "Well, what would I do with them?" "Well, you could earn more money," came the impatient reply. "Then you can buy a better boat so that you can go deeper and catch more fish. And then you can purchase nylon nets and catch even more fish and make more money. Soon you would have a fleet of boats and be rich like me." And the fisherman asks, "Then what would I do?" To which the rich industrialist says, "Then you could sit down and enjoy life." To which the fisherman said, "You mean like I'm doing now?" Is it possible we're chasing what we already have? Or at least what is available to us? Perhaps it's more a matter of focus. The psalmist said the people kept asking, "Where is your God?" To which we respond, "He's right here." But we get so wrapped up in the stresses and strains of life, we grow accustomed to them. We grow so accustomed to the stress and the strain that we come to expect it. And in the process, we miss God. Eric Erickson told the story that he heard from a physician friend about an old man with a peculiar problem. Now, I don't know the most polite way to say this, but the old man vomited every morning when he got up. But
Pete didn't see anything wrong.
His family kept trying to get him to go to the doctor.
He didn't see he needed to go.
So finally, you know, he gave in. All right, if you're going to bug the daylights out of me, okay, I'll go. So he goes to the doctor, and the doctor asks him how he's doing. He said, I'm fine. I've never felt better. Well, you know what it's like when we get older. Our kids do an end run, and they sneak, and they talk to the doctor before we get to the exam room. Well, the kids had talked to the doctor. And so when the doctor couldn't get anything out of this man, he finally, in exasperation, says, I hear that you vomit every morning when you wake up. And the old man looked surprised, and he says, sure, doesn't everybody? Folks, we don't have to live stressed out. We don't have to live worn out. Jesus said that he came that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. I found in my own experience that my lack of abundancy or my abundancy depends so much upon my mindset. The same challenge can be an aggravation or major problem depending on my mindset. I've got a new favorite song. It's a spiritual song, but I'm just going to read you the words of it. It repeats itself a lot, but I'm just going to read some of the words of it. It says, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on the Lord. Then the next verse says, I'm singing and praying with my mind stayed on Jesus. Then another verse says, I'm walking and talking with my mind stayed on Jesus. And then another verse says, you can't hate your neighbor with your mind stayed on Jesus. Where's your mind? What's your mind focused on? When you woke up this morning, was your mind stayed on Jesus? Or were you worried about the latest political scandal, the latest stock market dip, the latest this or that or the other thing? Where was your mind when you got up this morning? I'm not going to dare ask where your mind is right now. Where was your mind when you got up this morning? Where's your mind right now? Where's your mind going to be this afternoon? Where's your mind going to be when you go to bed tonight? Where's your mind going to be if you got to go to work in the morning? Where's your mind going to be if you got to go to the doctor's office in the morning? Where's your mind going to be? What are you focusing on? I tend to experience God's presence or I miss God's presence, depending on the place of my mind. A gentleman named Roger Van Oak said sometime in a seat called A Kick in the Seat of the Pants, says, look around you and try to find five things blue. And he says, once you do that, you'll see blue everywhere you go. Zach changed brands of the cars he's working on. He's now working on Jaguars and Land Rovers. Sally says she never saw so many Land Rovers in her life till Zach started working on them. Then she started seeing Land Rovers everywhere. What's your mind focusing on? When we're focused on the stress and the strain, guess what we usually find? Stress and strain. And God seems terribly absent. When we're focused on God, we tend to experience the activity of God in our responsibilities and activities so that even the aggravations and the presence of God still affords us abundant life. So this week, we're going to run up and down the roads of life, and some of us are going to be huffing and puffing all the way. We're going to encounter some aggravations. We're going to encounter some challenges. We're going to cross some streams of God's love and presence. I have a hunch that if we drink from the stream, the aggravations and challenges won't be nearly so ominous. So as you run up and down the road of life this week, stop by the streams of Jesus' love and presence and drink in the goodness of life. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, you know us human beings. It's so easy for us to get focused on those aggravations, on those problems, on those issues that are right in front of our face. And when we do, we miss those streams of your love and presence flowing right by us. Gracious Lord, we can't hide our head in the sand and pretend the aggravations and the like don't come. They do. But Lord, help us to focus on you. Help our mind to be stayed on Jesus so that we never miss the streams of your presence, that we always drink in your abundant life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning our altar is open as always.